This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening back in the studio. The first Monday of the sort of first business day of 2015. It feels like the real New Year's Day when everything gets going. We're going to begin, though, with a little bit of a holiday New Year's tradition here on The Takeaway. Joining us is Ian Bremmer, president of the Eurasia Group, author of Every Nation for Itself, Winners and Losers in a G-Zero World. We look every first Monday of the year at the risk assessment that the Eurasia Group publishes on this day. Ian, welcome back.
Great to be back with you.
And the last year, you said a lot of things. You made some predictions, some of which looked pretty darn good, some of which maybe were less relevant than you had thought. But again, they're risks. They aren't predictions so much. So what's on your mind here in January? I suspect it has something to do with Europe.
Europe is number one. It's true. I mean, this is an environment where the United States looks pretty good. All the geopolitics and the headlines, they don't redound so poorly to the United States. We're very insulated from them. They hit Europe badly. The economy in Europe is actually doing a lot better than it was during the teeth of the financial crisis. But the politics are doing worse on every front. The grassroots, you've got populist parties in all of these countries that are becoming more powerful. Some of them will be in office this year. The relations between Germany and the periphery, particularly Greece right now, but more broadly, much more tenuous and challenging than we've seen at any point since the financial crisis hit. And the geopolitical environment, whether it's the Middle East or it's Russia, real problem for Europe. All of these things are coming together in 2015. And, you know, Europe still is the world's largest common economic zone. So things that hit Europe really do matter to us.
Are we looking at a geopolitical game of chicken in the sense that we're seeing pain in Russia from the sanctions and the Ukraine crisis, but we're also seeing pain in Europe and the hesitation now of the Greeks to stay in the EU, to maybe refocus some of the issues of is the EU even valid? It's pushed the euro down. Does Germany need the Greeks to stay in line and confront Vladimir Putin?
Well, there certainly is a lot of bluster going on, and there's a lot of support for local domestic politics. The problem is that those domestic politics can lead you to outcomes that economically you may not find very palatable. That's clearly true in Russia. You know, Putin's popularity is in the high 80s right now, and it is there in part because he is able to effectively demonize the West. And sanctions are helping in that regard. His economy has gone to hell because of the low oil prices. So if you ask, is he playing chicken, it doesn't look to me like he's looking for a back down or an exit. He's looking to escalate. His economy doesn't get improved dramatically with the sanctions coming off. On the other hand, he's going to have real problems if he suddenly backs down on Ukraine politically in his own country.
Who feels more pain in Russia, the middle class or the European middle class, as we go into the months of 2015?
That's a really good question. And I would argue that the Russians are much more capable of handling the pain, even though they're going to feel a lot more of it. That's the problem. The Europeans, the middle class, as Piketty, 2014 was the year of Piketty in many ways. We'll still be talking about him this year. This extraordinary gap between rich and poor, which we're not experiencing at the global level at all, the global middle class doing very well, but you're experiencing in Europe. That hollowing out means that across the board, you see the rise of populist Eurosceptic parties, some of whom will take office and some of whom will not take office but will force the more establishment politicians to grab onto pieces of their agenda so that they'll be able to continue to do well. That all means that this crippling, this hollowing out of the middle class across Europe, with the exception of Germany, is going to lead to a lot more political conflict.
Talking with Ian Bremmer, president of the Eurasia Group, author of Every Nation for Itself, Winners and Losers in a G-Zero World. And I should remind you, we will be talking later in the program about preemptive moves that Vladimir Putin has taken to squelch political opposition. That's a sort of a separate matter, but could bear directly on some of the risks that Ian is talking about here. Let's talk about China. Is China driving or in the driver's seat or in the back seat right now?
China's driving. This has been, as I said, it's a good year for the United States. It's also a good year for Xi Jinping. Oil prices now moving towards $50. Xi Jinping is, in my view, the single biggest beneficiary of that drop in the entire world.
Really?
The Chinese people less so, because he doesn't want to give all of that benefit to the Chinese consumer. He doesn't want price at the pump to go down the way it has in the United States. He wants to use that to allow for a greater economic transition that means less purchasing of commodities, more of a transformation of the Chinese system away from the vast air pollution they've had, a lot of the big political challenges that he sees facing him.
So he's going to spend oil money on political on infrastructure, industrial infrastructure, and environmental remediation.
That's right. And that means that 2015 is a really good year for political stability in China. It's a really good year for, you know, sort of Xi Jinping doing what he wants to domestically, buying time. The risk is that all of the countries that have done so well over the past decades selling commodities into China are going to take a big hit this year, and they're not ready for it. I'm talking Australia, I'm talking Indonesia, I'm talking Brazil, I'm talking Thailand. And a lot of countries that have just been riding that wave for decades, the most extraordinary economic growth that the world has ever seen, the industrialization of China over the last 35 years, suddenly their commodity purchases are going to go way down intentionally in 2015. The oil prices coming down help Xi Jinping to do that without political backlash, going to hurt those exporters. Mm.
Let's talk a little bit about the Middle East. Last year in your risk assessment, you talked about something called ISIS 2.0, or actually Al-Qaeda 2.0. It became ISIS. I wonder if you were prescient there. I'd love a comment. And you also talked a lot about Turkey. And while Turkey didn't figure prominently in 2014, behind the scenes, there was a lot going on there. What's the update?
Well, I think that on Al-Qaeda, Al-Qaeda itself is a shell of what the organization used to be. But our concerns in 2014 was that the radicalization of Islam was going to grow. You weren't going to have success for a lot of the more moderate political Islam movements. A lot of people 5-10 years ago were talking political Islam was the way that these organizations were going to become entrenched and part of these new states. Not the case at all. Hmm. Assad is still there, of course. ISIS, the concern that we have for ISIS going forward is not that the Islamic State is going to get stronger. It's probably going to get weaker. But that ISIS as an organization will spread beyond Iraq and Syria. And you'll see attacks by ISIS and by their supporters in places like Egypt and Jordan and Saudi Arabia. And clearly that's going to do a lot of driving for the political stability of those countries, where they're going to spend their capital. And the United States is not going to play a huge role in those other countries.
What about the conflict between Saudi Arabia and Iran? Does ISIS push that forward, or is it internal between Saudi Arabia and Iran?
On the one hand, both of those countries, Saudi Arabia and Iran, are opposed to ISIS on the ground in Iraq and Syria. On the other hand, they disagree on everything else around that conflict. And as they start having success, and the Americans do as well, in pushing ISIS back in those countries, the winners that the Iranians and the Saudis want to see are completely antithetical to each other. So the conflict, the proxy fighting we see between Saudi and Iran, both over ISIS and more broadly places like Yemen, you're going to see a lot more of that.
Most alarming, and before we go, under a minute, the weaponization of finance is something you talk about, finance becoming a war zone.
Yeah. The fact that the United States doesn't want to talk much about boots on the ground, that's almost a quaint and 20th century term for a lot of people in Washington. But the U.S. is not becoming isolationist. It's becoming more unilateral. You see that with surveillance. You see it with drones. And you see it with the dollar. And the willingness of the U.S. to use an incredibly strong dollar to get countries to do what we want, that's the weaponization of finance.
Well, we'll talk about that as it relates to cybersecurity in just a moment. Ian Bremmer, president of the Eurasia Group and author of Every Nation for Itself, Winners and Losers in a G-Zero World. Thank you.
My pleasure. Andy.
NYC Now delivers the most up-to-date local news from WNYC and Gothamist every morning, midday, and evening. With 3 updates a day, listeners get breaking news, top headlines, and in-depth coverage from across New York City. By sponsoring programming like NYC Now, you'll reach our community of dedicated listeners with premium messaging and an uncluttered audio experience. Visit sponsorship.wnyc.org to get in touch and find out more.